Father, forgive me where I have been resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid. Grant me the grace to be an instrument of your service this evening. Amen. I'm an alcoholic named Mary Lou. Hi, friends. Today, as Deborah said, we're going to be looking at steps 10 and 11. In preparing for this, I had a rude awakening. I had to admit something about myself I didn't like. Okay? You know, I am in contact with my higher power throughout the day. You know, the thoughts are there, you know, help me, thank you, you know, all throughout the day. But I neglect spending time in reflecting back on my day and spending time, quiet time, in prayer and meditation. You know, I do that really, really well when I'm in a state of crisis or when I'm feeling totally powerless. Like when I was diagnosed with cancer and had to go have surgery and chemotherapy and radiation treatment, I was real good about keeping time with God, okay? He and I spent a whole lot of time together. Or like when my mother was dying, you know, I spent that time. Or when my sister was diagnosed with leukemia and was dying. When my best friend was diagnosed with MS. When this past year, when my husband became very, very ill. You know, those times when I'm feeling totally, totally powerless and helpless, you know, I have no trouble spending time alone with God. But when things are going well, you know, I tend not to do that. And that is an area of my life God has shown me today that I really, really need to start working on. You know, I realized in working on these steps that this was an old pattern of mine. And it started out because I used to think I wasn't good enough to spend time with God. You know, I didn't deserve to spend time with God. And that carried on into all areas of self-care. A couple weeks ago I talked to you about my eating that's out of control. Exercise, you know. I tend not to take care of myself when things are going well. And today it's not because I don't think I deserve it. Because today I know I deserve to be happy. Today I know I deserve to be healthy. Today I have to admit that I don't do it out of laziness. And I didn't like seeing that in myself and I didn't like looking at that. You know, I used to say I was too busy. You know, I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work, and geez, get up at 4:30 to spend time in prayer and meditation. Get real. But that wasn't the reason. The reason was I am just basically a lazy person. And today is the first day of the rest of my life, and I spent 20 minutes in prayer and meditation today. Thank you. And tomorrow I hope to add 20 minutes of exercise. Now we'll see how that goes. Next week will be food. Incorporating the spiritual principles we've learned in the first 9 steps makes it possible to live in harmony with ourselves and with others. We're becoming aware of our thoughts, our attitudes, our motives, our feelings, and our behavior as they occur. You know, steps 1 through 9 basically dealt with the past, or steps 4 through 9 dealt with the past. Steps 10 deals with the now. I must keep my recovery as a number one priority. Because when I become complacent, I'm setting myself up for relapse. I become lazy and turn myself into the problem, not the solution. Today, I do not have a drinking problem. Today, I have a thinking problem. And And I need to be constantly aware of my thought processes, my attitudes, my motives. And I need to keep checking them constantly so that those old patterns do not come back. In the 12 and 12 on page 90, it says, it's a spiritual axiom, when I'm disturbed, no matter the cause, there is something wrong with me. When I'm disturbed, no matter the cause, there's something wrong with me. You know, I've learned that when I'm disturbed, no matter what, something's wrong inside me. The other person may be at fault, but that's none of my business. I only have to deal with my feelings, my thinking, my attitudes, my reactions. When I'm hurt or afraid, I have to look for the cause within me. I must admit and correct whatever is wrong. Today I look at pain as a friend. I don't always like it, but it's a friend. It lets me know when something's wrong in my thinking and or in my emotions. Just like physical pain lets me know when there's something wrong in my body. A lot of you know that I'm married to... Oh, I forgot my coffee. Because I won't bring me a coffee. A lot of you know I'm married to another alcoholic named Jack Lipinski. Thanks, Jack. And I was 5.5 years sober when we got married, and he was 11.5 years sober. And shortly after we married, I said to my sponsor one day, I said, you know, I'm really sick and tired of being responsible for everything I feel. And I think now that I'm married, I should only have to be responsible for my feelings 6 days out of the week, and one day out of the week I ought to be allowed to blame Jack. She did not buy that at all. In the 12 and 12, it talks about emotional hangovers. You know, those hangovers we used to have when we drank, they were pretty bad. Well, emotional hangovers can be really bad, too. They affect everybody around us. And an emotional hangover is when yesterday's excessive negative emotions, anger, fear, jealousy, are carried into today. To avoid emotional hangovers requires an admission and correction of our areas now. Not next week, not tomorrow, now. This is the 10-step inventory allows this. There is no right or wrong way to do your inventory. Talk to your sponsor. Find out how they think you should do it. The important thing is that you do one on a daily basis. You know, we're also learning, you know, we're learning the skill of self-discipline. And that was something that I did not have when I got here. I had no self-discipline at all. Today, I'm have self-discipline in some areas of my life, and as I just shared, not in all. So, you know, I'm a work in progress. We're also learning self-restraint. And that was something I definitely didn't have when I got here. If it came in my head, it came out my mouth. You know, in the 12 and 12 on page 91, I forgot my glasses today, so this is going to be cool. Nothing pays off like restraint of tongue or pen. We must avoid quick-tempered criticisms and furious, power-driven arguments. The same goes for sulking or silent scorn. These are emotional booby traps baited with pride and revengefulness. Our first job is to sidestep the trap. When we are tempted by the bait, we should train ourselves to step back and think. For we can neither think nor act to good purposes until this habit of restraint, self-restraint, has been developed. And the habit of self-restraint needs to come automatically to us, it goes on to say. And looking at our inventory, we also need to look at our motives. Were they selfish? Were they loving? Were they pure? When my sponsor first told me I had to look at my motives, I almost decked her. I mean, it's bad enough. I have to watch my thinking. I have to watch what I do. I have to watch what I say. Now I have to look at my motives? Come on. If I'm doing something good, why does it have to be a good motive? That's addressed in the 12 and 12, too. On page 94-95. We should carefully examine our motives in each thought or act that appears to be wrong. In most cases, our motives won't be hard to see or understand. When prideful, angry, anxious, jealous, fearful, we acted accordingly, and that was that. And then it goes on to say, but in other instances, only the closest scrutiny will reveal what our true motives were. There are cases where our ancient enemy, rationalization, has stepped in and has justified conduct which is clearly wrong. The temptation here is to imagine that we had good motives and the reason and reasons when we really didn't. We constructively criticized someone who needed it, when our real motive was to win a useless argument, or the person concerned, not being present, we thought we were helping others to understand him, when in actuality our true motive was to feel superior by putting him down. We sometimes hurt those we love because they needed to be taught a lesson, when we really just want to punish them. We were depressed and complained we felt bad, when in fact we were mainly asking for sympathy and attention. Learning daily to spot, admit, and correct these flaws is the essence of character building and good living. An honest regret for harms done, a genuine gratitude for the blessings received, and a willingness to try for better things tomorrow will become the permanent asset we are talking about. Relate to any of that? Criticizing I'm just telling you the truth. Well, first of all, you didn't ask me for it. Secondly, it's none of my business. I'm not your sponsor. Putting somebody in their place. I didn't gossip. I was just telling the truth. If it was a truth, it wasn't gossip. Those are some of my justifications and rationalizations. I'm real, real capable of justifying and rationalizing just about anything. Continue to take personal inventory means that. Continue. It doesn't mean occasionally. It doesn't mean once a week or once a month. Continuously. Ongoing. It is helpful to set aside the time during the day to focus on self-appraisal and gradually move towards the goal of being able to look at ourselves throughout the day, developing the self-discipline. Avoid being overly critical of yourself, though, when you're doing this. We can get hung up in looking at everything horrible about ourselves and just nitpicking ourselves to death, and that's not what this is about. This is about us looking at how we can better ourselves and become a better person. We need to become aware of that voice within, that conscience. When I get the nagging feeling something isn't quite right, I need to pay attention to it. As soon as I become aware that I'm feeling ill at ease, I need to search out the cause and deal with it promptly, now, not tomorrow. Again, I need to search out the cause, and I should add, in me, not in you. You didn't cause it, I did. My thinking, my attitude, my reaction. My goal today is to maintain awareness throughout the day, to stay in the now today. I dealt with yesterday in my fourth and fifth step. In the tenth step, I'm dealing with today. The purpose of this step is to become aware of my thoughts, motives, and values, then work on what needs to change. We strive for emotional balance or emotional sobriety. We used to live in the extremes, either feeling totally worthless or feeling better than. In step 10, we find the middle road. In step 10, we see ourselves for who we really are, accepting our positive qualities along with our defects of character, knowing we can change, and that's the freedom. Okay, I can change today. I can change. You know, I don't have to stay that person. When something is wrong, I can change it and go on with my life. I don't have to stay stuck in that emotional pain, that emotional torture. And I have to remember, I can change it with the help of my higher power. We are becoming aware we are becoming what we were meant to be all along, a total whole human being. Some find it helpful to set aside time at the end of the day to reflect back on today. I need to remember that I only look at my side of the street. I watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. For me, my biggie is judgmental, intolerance, and being critical. When people start commenting to me, "Mary Lou, that was really judgmental what you just said. Mary Lou, that was really critical. What's going on with you?" I know that there's something going on inside me spiritually that I need to work on. I need to go in me and find out what that is. Or the other one I like is, "I'm right and you're wrong." back to the toilet paper. Right, Matt? I must practice these spiritual principles in all my affairs. Not just some of them. I can't pick and choose. While I'm driving, you know, I can't be given the one finger salute. I need to be given the five finger salute. When I'm at bowling, I need to watch my mouth. With my husband, I need to be kind and loving in all of things. Okay. I must carry the vision of God's will into all of my activities. Several times a day, I need to stop and say, how can I best serve you? Thy will be done, not mine. And that's page 85 of the big book. Okay, now we're going to move on to the 11th step. I think I'm going to get down early tonight, Kevin. The 11th step is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for me, us, and the power to carry that out. This step suggests prayer, talking to God, and meditation, listening to God. As I said in the beginning, this is an area that I have to work on. Now in the 12 and 12 on page 98. There is a direct linkage among self-examination, meditation, and prayer. Taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit. But when they are logically related and interwoven, the result is an unshakable foundation for life. So it's, you know, prayer, meditation, and our inventory. You know, it's easy to incorporate our daily inventory in with the 11th step. You know, the big book gives us clear-cut directions, and I handed out a handout someplace. And I went over and took this from the big book, and this is suggestions on how to incorporate your inventory in with your prayer and meditation. The PM focus. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving towards all? And notice that says towards all. Not towards those I think deserve it. Towards all. What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others? Of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. For that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective action we can take. And then the suggestion for the morning. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking for it to be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motives. Under these circumstances, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us a brain. I like that. God gave you a brain, so use it. Our life, our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. There's that dumb word again, motives. I hate that. Midday. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax, take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised at how the right answer comes after we have tried this for a while. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we should, that we be shown throughout the day what our next step is to be. God didn't type very well in this paragraph. That we're given whatever, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves. Make no requests for ourselves. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing just that, and it doesn't work. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show. Humbly ask ourselves, that's supposed to be many times, humbly ask ourselves many times each day, thy will be done, not mine. You know, those are clear-cut directions. You know, you can't be much plainer than that. Prayer and meditation are my daily medication for my ism, the I, the self, the me, of my alcoholism. The body needs food, water, and air. Prayer and meditation are the nourishment that my spirit needs. I had to fill the hole in my soul. I came here with a big, big, huge hole in my soul, and nothing was filling anymore. I had to fill it. And this 11th step has allowed me to walk into the sunlight of the Spirit. I'm no longer in darkness. In the 12 and 12 on page 99, suggested prayer, which we're all familiar with. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace. Where there is hatred, I may bring love. That where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there is our shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant me that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to the eternal life. Amen. Praying that we can be of service. You know, and many, many times throughout the day I say, thy will be done, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine. And also in the 12 and 12 on page 105, it talks about one of the greatest rewards we get from doing this. Perhaps one of the greatest rewards of meditation and prayer is a sense of belonging that comes to us. We no longer live in a completely hostile world. We are no longer lost and frightened and purposeless. The moment we catch even a glimpse of God's will, the moment we begin to see truth, justice, and love as real and eternal things in life, we are no longer deeply disturbed by the seemingly evidence to the contrary that surrounds us in purely human affairs. We know that God lovingly watches over us. We know that when we turn to Him, all will be well with us. Here and forever. A sense of belonging. I was 7 years sober. And the woman always had a woman's retreat at Finley Lake. And I never went because I was afraid. And the reason I was afraid was, growing up, I spent my summers at Finley Lake at the United Methodist, or then it was the Evangelical United Brethren's camp. And for some reason, I thought that there was some horrible thing from my past, because I don't really have many memories of growing up, but I thought there was some horrible thing at Finley Lake that I would have to face if I went there. And so finally, I was at work one day, and a friend in the fellowship called me, and she said, you know, I don't know why, Mary Lou, but God told me to call you and tell you I'll go to Finley Lake with you if you want to go. And I went, wow. Because I'd never mentioned to anybody about Finley Lake. And so I went. And what I discovered was not some horrible truth. What I discovered was it was magic. It was like the final piece of the mosaic was in place. You know, I finally felt like I belonged. I finally felt like I was part of the universe. I no longer felt alone. And what a feeling that was. That was so wonderful. And Bill sees that, this is a wonderful book. If you don't have it, get it. On page 264. Sometimes when friends tell me how well when friends tell us how well we are doing, we know better inside. We know we aren't doing well enough. We still can't handle life as life is. There must be a serious, serious flaw somewhere in our spiritual practice and development. What then is it? The chances are, better than even, that we will locate our trouble in our misunderstanding or neglect of AA's Step 11, prayer and meditation and guidance from God. The steps can keep most of us sober and somewhat functioning, but the 11th step can keep me growing if I try hard and work at it continuously. The first 10 steps can keep me sober. The 11th step will keep me growing if I work at it. In practicing step 10, I began to develop some self-discipline, and this was needed in step 11. My goal from this day forward is to place prayer and meditation high on my priority list, to make prayer and meditation as much as part of my daily routine as sleeping and eating. It is vital that I actively pursue the knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out. The payoff will be, regardless of my circumstances, I will live with dignity to love myself and others, to laugh, to find joy and beauty in all my surroundings. I can be an emotional feeling human being and be okay in the now of today. I'm comfortable in my own skin. Prayer didn't change my attitude towards God. Prayer didn't change God's attitude towards me. It changes my attitude towards God. When I am troubled, I need to pause, take a breath, and ask myself, help me, show me the way. Show me. There are many forms of meditation, doodling, gardening. My biggest one is in the summertime. I love the garden, and I do a whole lot of meditation out in my gardening. I love it. Coloring, that's something I discovered fairly recently. Needlework, deep breathing, guided meditation. Focus on a word. Like I a lot of times will just practice deep breathing and just focus on, thank you, thank you, thank you, over and over again until my mind is cleared. Or at other times I imagine myself on a beach and the sun shining, and as I breathe in, I'm breathing in the energy from the sun, which is God's energy, and when I breathe out, I'm breathing out all that garbage that's inside me, and I just do that for a while, and I feel so much better when it's over with. You need to find your own form of meditation. It can be anything that will quiet the voices in the head. Be still. Ask direction. Breathe. And at the end of the day, I ask myself, was I kind and loving to all? That's it. Thank you. No, I didn't.
No, give us 1 minute.
Okay, we're here. Anybody, thank you, Mary Lou. Oh, it's beautiful. Does anybody have any questions for Mary Lou regarding step 10 or 11?
Step 10. It seems the longer I'm sober, it's easier to catch. Catch the things that I normally would have thought about at the end of the day, like, oops.
That's part of it.
And, yeah, so that I can make those amends and right away during the day. I'm finding step 10 working for me all day long. That's okay?
That's the purpose of it.
Thank you.
continued. Here we go. With our friend over here.
Jeff, alcoholic.
Hi, Jeff.
How do you handle your, your daily inventory? And take a look and say if you're out of town and you lash out on a waitress or a customer service person, and you're a couple hours away, and you kind of realize, oh, I really shouldn't have done that, and you kind of comes to you. How do you make that?
I ask right? forgiveness and try very hard not to repeat that behavior.
Okay. I was going to say I wasn't going to go, because I might be there another 2 weeks or something.
If you are back there, you happen to see them, you can, you can apologize. I'm sorry for the way I treated you last time I was here. I was having a bad day.
And I suppose watching a Sunday football game and swearing at the ref is in meditation?
I know, it says all our affairs.
Okay.
I think football
and that's
should
not
be
meditation, watching a football game?
No. I think football should be an exception. I'm a diehard Steeler fan, so.
Thanks. All right,
it is meditation for Mary Lou. And no diehard Steeler fan. Anybody else have a question regarding step 10 and 11?
Thanks again. You're terrific. Your preparation for this is always magnificent. It really is. This is going to be a great series and something that you should be proud of. One of the questions that I have is regarding when you're working with people or sponsoring someone and you're taking them through steps 10 in particular, do you give them what you put on the paper here as far as telling them to, when they do their daily inventory, do you have them do not only their, is it like your four-step where it's a moral inventory where they list their asset and their defect, and do you have them read that to you daily, weekly, monthly, or how do you teach that?
Okay, in the beginning, when they're just first starting it, I give them the sheet and say, go over this every day. The goal is to have more on the right-hand side than the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. And call me in the morning, we'll talk about it. Okay. But, as it becomes a habit, as it becomes a part of them, that eases off.
Anybody else have a question regarding prayer, meditation, taking personal inventory? For myself, I love the part of step 10 where it says, for we've entered the world of the Spirit. And it is in preparation for the ongoing step 10 and 11 prayer and meditation. So if that's it, then thank you very much, Mary Lou.